did. He did.
You know what I'm saying? This brother right here, he is putting in work in the streets. He's damn near like the philanthropist of the seven cities. The seven cities philanthropist.
You did.
You know what I mean? I've known him for a couple years now. He's been doing some work where he produces his own music, produces his own content. Whatever it may be, he is always grinding.
Yeah.
And I'm like very honored to be having this conversation with this gentleman. This gentleman is a very bright individual, man. And he has a lot of knowledge to bring. So without further more, I got to introduce to you guys Raekwon, a.k.a. Third Eye 5.
What's good, y'all?
What's going on, family?
What's good, man? That was a great introduction,
bro. Let me bring you on.
That was a great introduction, man.
What's good, familia?
What's good, man? We're here with it.
How you feeling, man? How's everything?
Everything's good, man. Like, Just going with the motions of like what 2024 got in store. Definitely like you definitely feel the shift that's taking place. And you just gotta, well, if you've been on this spiritual journey for a minute, you know how to like swift through what's going on. You understand, you know how to really like embody your energy to where you're not like too closed-minded and stand off on like not trying to grow and change from what's going on. So it's just always, you know what I'm saying, learning and building and growing process. So it's a lot of changes going on, and even in the last 2 months. So I definitely feel like this is definitely a challenging year, but it's going to be for the better. Yeah.
I think so, too. And you got to excuse me for my camera. My camera's going to be pausing a lot. I'm working on this camera right now to get this camera working right. Yeah. So every once in a while, if you see me pausing, I'm still in real time with you. It's just I'm trying to figure out this camera thing. Once I get this operated right, it's going to be on and popping. But either way, man, look, I feel you, brother. I do. And, you have to be, like, spiritually connected and be aligned, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Being aligned is one of the best things you can do in this day and time, you know, and having your chakras on point. Because we're going through a lot right now, and in this country, at this day and time, you know, you have to use a lot of common sense, context clues and everything, and what you look at and what you perceive. You know what I'm saying? Because energy is out there, and it's positive and negative conductors. So, yeah, man, I feel you, bro. I definitely feel you, man. But today, you know, it's Black History, so, you know, I'm going to pick your brain.
Yeah.
You know, and then we're going to look at some react, you know, some videos to react to, and I just want to hear your thoughts on it. Just give me, you know, your thoughts on it, how you feel about it, and from your perspective.
For sure.
Yeah, all right, so let's get into it. I'd like to know, who's your top three inventors, personally, from your perspective? Who you consider your top three Black inventors?
I would say Benjamin Banker. I'm gonna throw Madam C.J. Walker in there, just a simple fact. She's the first Black female millionaire here in America that really did her thing with hair and hair products. I'm gonna bring it all the way back to ancient Egypt. I'm gonna say Thoth with writing, like, and writing them tablets, man, and bringing this universal law and things. Yeah, communicational things. So I definitely say that as my third, man.
Yeah, man, that's dope, man. Listen, I think, you know, that's a lost art in history, is holding near true and through your heart, near and dear to your heart. I always say near, true, and true. But near and dear to your heart, your inventors, your pioneers, your superheroes, all those things that we, as people of color, need to have in our, you know, in our history. Like, it has to be enriched, because the country that we live in, I want to say they're not highlighting the good aspects of Black history, you know, not in this day and time. So, you know, I'm not saying that the critical race theory is not a thing. It's definitely a thing, but it's not even like Black history is really all engulfed into American history as far as books. So, you know, when you talk about inventors, you ask the average young Black children or Black child in America, a lot of them will maybe give you one or two answers, and some might not even give you any answers depending on where you're from.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, it's good to know things like that and to hold it near and true. You know what I mean? But with the top three inventors, for me, I think about what comes to mind for me is Garrett Morgan. Garrett Morgan is a gentleman who created the gas mask. What he used was, I believe he used, I want to say he used a wet sponge, and he had like a kind of like a cloth over your head, and it was used as a filter for smoke. And this guy has been a pioneer for that. Like, if it wasn't for him, you know, gas mask probably would have came way later. It came in time enough for us to use. And also, too, he's the man responsible for the traffic light.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
You know what I mean? You know, and
that's crazy.
He invented that. So if it wasn't for him, we'd be all over this place with traffic, man. They'll have to have that guy. Used to be doing this shit.
Yeah.
Excuse my language, doing this. You know, he's waving
like,
traffic. So.
Like he in the Coast Guard or something.
Right, right. So when I think about him, you know, that's the first person that come to mind. I got a couple, but the gentleman that created peanut butter, I'm trying to remember.
George Washington Carver.
George Washington Carver, there you go.
Yeah.
And look, you see what I'm saying? Like, I have to go in and think hard on these things when it should just come like this rapidly to my head. And that's just a prime example. And it's me, and I've studied history.
Right.
And I even got my minor in it. But, you know, when you think about our history, you have to go, for me to learn a lot of things about our history, I have to go to higher learning.
Yeah.
So just coming up with top three, it could be challenging for some. And for others, not. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So for me now, my next question to you is: who is your top three Black inventor? Excuse me, leader.
Leader.
You gotta choose three leaders. Who would be your top three?
I gotta throw my man Michael Max. I gotta say Michael Max.
Shout out to Michael Max.
Man, rest in power, man. That's a good brother, man. Frederick Douglass.
Yes, sir.
The last one. Leader. When I think of leader, okay. I'm gonna say how you say his name. Manny Musa. How you say the?
Manny Musa.
Yeah. You know I gotta throw him in there.
You know I'm gonna ask you the wise on all three probably.
Yeah, let's go.
So why was the first person to come to mind for you was Malcolm X?
I say Malcolm X because he stood on truth, man. He was all about truth, and he was about what's right. And really aiming for justice for not only for Black people, but for all people, for all races, Latino, you know what I'm saying, Hispanic, whatever. Because at the towards his near his death, you would learn and understand that that's where he was headed. Like, that's what he was standing on towards the end. And that he got away from just, oh, it's the white man. You know what I'm saying? And he started learning, like, the devil could be even within your own people. You know what I'm saying?
Correct.
Even in, like, who he was in the organizations with. And then come to find out, they did him dirty. And it's like, even, like, after he came back from Africa and stuff like that, he just started learning and knowing that, knowing the real way of being a Muslim and how Islam and everything is, how everything is really organized over there. And then come back to America, you get a whole totally different vibe.
Chaos,
so,
right,
you know what I'm saying? Straight chaos, man. And he didn't like that. He didn't like that, and he wasn't standing on that. And he was down to die about standing on that type of truth. And that's me. And that reminds me of me. Like, when it comes to what I'm doing and spreading truth and knowledge and wisdom, because that's just who I am and what my spirit carries. You know what I'm saying? So I could just really relate to him, you know what I'm saying, on so many levels with how he, like, carried himself and how he made that transition towards the near of his death, man. And the second one, what you going to say?
Wait. No, I was going to...
Oh, you want to say? Okay.
So, you know, I agree with you with that. You know, Malcolm X stood on truth, you know, and having men like that in this day and time is a rarity. You know what I mean? Especially a man of such prominence to that can rise above many, you know, and is speaking on his own truth and standing on it, like standing on business for real.
Yeah.
I believe with Malcolm X, he was a individual that showed that he was conservative in a sense where he believed in man, woman, and child, but he also believed in every man is equal in many different cases. Like you said, in the beginning, it was all about the white man, the white man, the white man, but when he went over to Israel, I think, was it Israel?
Yeah, he went to Mecca.
He did go to Mecca.
He went to Mecca, and he also went to Egypt too.
And he went to Egypt. So when he went to Mecca, from what I've read, he was washing his feet next to white men, just like him that was heavily into Islam, and giving praises to the same God that he gave praises to. You know, so when he came back, like you said, he came back with a different ideology versus how he left.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because it's almost like a race war was going on at the time,
right,
when he came back, that was a lot more mental and physical. It was more mental and physical in many aspects because, you know, in order to entrap a person, you got to enchain the mind. You can't... Physical, you can only do it, but for so long. If you can get the mind, you got them for life. And yeah, that's what's going on with these race of people. So when he saw that, he was trying to come back and bring awareness to say, yo, listen, this is not a black and white thing. This is an evil versus good thing. You know what I mean? This is the government versus the people thing. You know, and I think with him coming back with this new mindset, it raised a lot of questions to the government on how can we put this man down without it coming back to us. And, you know, the FBI obviously had a lot to do with it. And, you know, as time go on, more and more stuff got declassified.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's sad because, you know, I learned about Malcolm X in the early 90s, bro. And how I learned about Malcolm X was having... Like, I remember going to school and I seen everybody rocking the little medallion with the X on it.
Mm.
It was made out of string and it had the medallion that had the little X symbol. And I was like, man, that joint's cool. Like, what is that about? You know what I'm saying? And then the movie X came out with Denzel Washington and the producer, Spike Lee. Yeah. Shout out to Spike Lee.
Great movie.
I still believe that man is like the GOAT, you know, in film. Because that was a pinnacle film at the time for us young black people coming up, seeing something like that and seeing such a strong presence of how he moved and how Denzel embodied him, that I thought it was Malcolm X at one point.
Exactly. He was so...
You see what I'm saying? And the way that I saw how black men were so structured and militant, it was like, the film was so attractive to me that I wanted to become a Muslim at one point because of how, you know, the organization was ran. And till this day, they still run it like a militant kind of mindset as far as brotherhood and sisterhood is concerned. The women on one side, the men on one side, and they integrate with each other and, you know, things happen.
Yeah.
But I really believe that, you know, Malcolm X obviously was set up by the FBI, and he used, of course, his own people, like you said. And that's going to lead into a lot more things that we're going to discuss more about.
Yeah.
But your second person that you said was who?
What was my second person? Leader? Oh, Frederick Douglass. Yeah.
Okay.
Frederick Douglass, man, he was known for being a speaker, and he learned how to read early. He knew how to read, and it's crazy. And this is why we have to be careful of, like saying who's the devil and all that, and just, you know what I'm saying, it's like putting it in the air like that, because, like, for instance, with Frederick Douglass, a white woman taught him how to read. And if it wasn't for that white woman teaching him how to read, would we have a Frederick Douglass the way we have him today?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And, so it's like, you can't even look at it's a color thing, because the ones that you think won't help you, it'll be the ones that will. And the ones you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's just like, with that, man, and knowing that, it gave me a different perspective on life, and not just necessarily like just be just straight on this separation thing, Pan-African type of vibe and stuff like that. Because even with me, if it weren't for this white lady in high school, I wouldn't even graduate high school. Cause man, I was on the edge of like quitting and not going back to school. My senior year, it was the SOLs that was messing me up. And I told her, like, I don't want to keep taking these SOLs no more. I'm about to continue to pursue this music career. I just got invited to the SOBs in New York to perform. And that just changed my whole perspective on, like, even, like, continue to, like, even get a diploma. So,
right. So
my guidance counselor, man, I can't even think of her name right now, but I just know she know I'm talking about it, though. From Salem High School, she was a white lady, and she kept pushing me, man. She kept pushing me, because I really was going to give up, man. Like, I was walking to school, keep taking the SOLs and stuff like that, and I didn't want to keep doing that. And it's just like, she kept pushing me. She kept talking to me and stuff like that. So I really appreciate that woman, man. If it weren't for her, I would not have that experience in life, bro.
Let's give her a shout out, man.
Yeah, special shout out.
Whoever she is.
Yeah.
She made you continue on and pursue. And you know what I mean? Finish up that degree, you know?
Yeah, for real, man. It's important, man. Because, like, even... Because I always imagine myself walking across that stage and seeing my people's happy, yo. But how things was going, I felt like it wasn't going to happen. I just felt like it wasn't even destined. But she gave me that drive. And experiencing that to this day, that's like one of my top happiest experiences I ever experienced on this life, man, on my journey. So Yeah, just like, all right, back to Frederick Douglass. Like, he was a speaker, man, that was very intelligent, because he knew how to read and he was able to, you know what I'm saying? And he was standing on business too, like leading his people and, you know what I'm saying, getting into the politics. I think he had a little something with Abraham Lincoln. He was doing big business and talking with him and try to free the slaves and, you know what I'm saying, doing the work and trying to make something happen for our people. So that's what I look up him a lot, because I even when I was in elementary school, when you had to dress up who you wanted to be, and I came into school as Frederick Douglass. So Frederick Douglass will always be my guy, man. I was reading them books about him early. My stepdad got me into him, and I had little comic books of Frederick Douglass. You know what I'm saying? So that's just stuff that you just can't take away. The third one, who I said was the third one, man?
I think you said Mansa Musa.
Mansa Musa, yeah. The richest black man on this planet to this day.
Ever.
To this day, ever.
Ever in life.
Ever in life, man. And
there would be nobody to mess with that man. He destabilized the community, the government or countries back in those days, rather. His money was serious, man. That man walked around and gave out money.
You know what I'm saying?
Gold, rather. It's not even money. It was gold. The gold standard was the highest. But I think before that, it was like shells or something like that, carry shells or some kind of other, currency that they were using back then. And I believe Mansa Musa came with gold and was just like, listen, this is way worth way more than what you got right there, and I got plenty of it, and I got a whole entourage behind me.
You feel me?
Vouch for me.
You feel me? Like, it's just that.
I'm the real deal right here.
Real deal, man. Like, you know,
that's. They were hating on him back then too, man. His own people was hating on him too, and other countries in Africa was hating on him because the man would just come through with bread, like, and just give it out.
That's what low-key, like, made me feel like us as people, man. I don't know, like, will we ever see the day of, like, us unifying and really, like, getting away of, like, the being envious of each other and actually come together and just and make something, bro. Because it's like, if they was acting like that in those times, man, what do we expect at this time? You know what I'm saying? Like, we got all this technology and some more shit to distract us and keep us in this bubble. You know what I'm saying? Those who that really tapped into a whole lot of nothing, you are easily distracted and astray from, like, trying to, like, make a change for our people. So it's like, to even expect that now, and we couldn't even really get that back then, and people, even our own people, was feeling some type of way too. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, and it even goes back all the way to the Yaqub story, man. And and it's like this is just what it is when it comes to this planet. I feel like it's like no running away from it. So, but Shalom, man, if we see that day, man, of like, it really would have to take on a crazy event. It would have
So before we talk about that. That's within this first hour.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you my top three leaders from my perspective, being that we have this conversation together.
Okay.
On this platform, like I said, like, share, subscribe, and leave a comment below if you're feeling what we're talking about, or if you even have any questions yourself. You know, it'll be interesting to even have this conversation and talk about this. But
yeah.
My top three leaders of all time. Well, I'll say the first one for me, I would say Gaddafi is one. I know that's controversy time, but you understand why. Right?
He was trying to he was on his way to be Mansa Musa, man. He was right along on his way.
To have a mindset like that, I'll put you in my top three.
Yeah.
The second one is Ella Baker. Ella Baker is she's a civil rights activist. We're gonna look at a film on her and, you know, conversate on it in a little bit. But she's everything to me. Like I have the utmost respect for her. A lot of Martin Luther King's speeches was written by her. And,
really? Hold on, man.
Yeah, she's the truth.
Hold on, man. You just put me on game with something, man. So Martin Luther King ain't write his own speeches, man.
I'm gonna send all speeches now. I ain't gonna send me write all speeches, but. Some of his good speeches that he had, Ella Baker was the person behind that. She wrote his speeches.
Wow.
She was his ghostwriter.
Wow.
Now, everything Martin Luther King could, you know what I mean? The man was a busy man. Not everything he could write. You know, he had you know what I'm saying? So.
That's different.
She's grassroots. And grassroots is the boots on the ground kind of people that, while, you know, the man, he back in those days, you got to understand. This was predominantly ran by men, you know, and leaders. You got a lot of men leaders during the civil rights era. So the women were still playing a role in some form of fashion, even though they, you know, you had women at home because this was a conservative lifestyle back then. You still had women out there in the forefront that was out there in the streets making it happen. That they didn't have the same setup, but they made it happen. You know, and Ella Baker was one of them. Ella Baker is a legend. She's a GOAT in the game. And look her up. I'm telling you, matter of fact, I'm going to let you see. I'm going to play something for you in a little bit and let you hear how she broke that down. Like, okay. That's how you know. The way she talk and the way she speak is going to remind you of Dr. King. You're going to be like, okay, I see where his ghostwriter came from. Watch.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? My number one is Dr. Malachi Z. York. You know, and he will always be the GOAT to me. Shout out to the Wapian Nation. And
shout out to Malachi, man.
You know, and I will say this, man. If it wasn't for him, knowledge of self for myself would not be. I attribute a lot to him as far as making me gain the knowledge that I needed to gain and elevate myself to 720 degrees of knowledge, 360 spiritual, 360 physical. I appreciate all of the gifts that came with the knowledge that was bestowed upon me upon the Nuwapian Nation and had me on a good swivel. You know, I know they talk about the man and the stuff he done and all that kind of good stuff like that, but you can judge a person by whatever their character is, but the works that they do is a whole different thing. It's just like my relationship I got with my love-hate relationship I got with Dr. Umar Johnson. What he says, I 100% ride with it. His work, as far as his knowledge goes, but I respect it. But him as a person, I just can't rock with how he is because it's been almost 17, 18 years now he's been talking about having a school and nothing is being produced properly or effectively at this point. And
we ain't seeing no pictures. We ain't seeing nothing. No, you know what I'm saying?
There is a school, but there really isn't a school because it's not open and it's been mad years. So, you know, when you have people like that, they go after your work. I don't knock his knowledge, just like with Dr. York. I don't knock Dr. York's knowledge. I was a student of his organization. I was a student, and I'm still a student. But I will say this, you know, free Dr. York, point blank.
Yeah, free Dr. York, man. He gonna get out, man.
Yeah, don't believe the system. The system can throw anything on you. They throw anything. They can make you look like a murderer overnight. You ain't do a damn thing.
And it's crazy because he even said in his speeches, man, that they was gonna try to take him out. They was either gonna take him out or they gonna lock him up. He even said in his speeches, like, they gonna come for him. Like, just look at what he putting out. Just look at what he putting out in the lives that the black men he have changed with the knowledge of self. Like, it was just, like, I don't know. I mean, it was bound to happen.
You know something, Ray? He was responsible for an Egypt in the West. Now, putting on our conspiracy hats and tinfoil hats, we know that there was an Egypt in the West a long time ago. And there are artifacts that they quote-unquote, allegedly, have found in, like, Arizona and all those middle parts of America in caves and stuff like that, like hieroglyphics and whatnot. And it's alleged, but it's an ongoing investigation for me to find out if this is absolutely true. But to see that man bring Egypt to the West and had so many black folks coming together on one landmass in Eatonton, Georgia, shout out to him for that.
Shout out,
because
man.
At that time, we needed that. You know what I'm saying? We needed that.
That was beautiful, man. That was too beautiful, man. Like, even to this day, and even just looking at the pictures of the structure that he built, man, it's just like, man, he really did that.
It was amazing.
You know what I'm saying?
It was amazing. It was amazing to be there, bro. If you were there, I'm so blessed that I was alive to experience that when it at its prime.
Yeah.
Wow. And I was there. I did the pilgrimage. I walked around those pyramids, all three of them. And
wow.
I lived on there, like, as far as staying on there. And for Savior's Day, we were there. Like, when they had Savior's Day. He had Savior's Day every year. And it was dope, man. It was good. It was a good thing. Yeah, you know what I mean? I was out of where I was stationed was not in Eatonton, Georgia, but we came up there a few times.
Yes.
But I was out of White Plains in the Bronx, and they had a tabernacle over there because he had tabernacles all over the United States and sometimes outside of the country as well. And that's where everybody, you know, tabernacle is like a church, you know what I mean? It's just a translation of a church, you know? And we call it the Tab, and that's where we build and we sustain our knowledge and just keep piling up more knowledge. I mean, I've read so many books. I felt like I had the sword of truth in my tongue. So anytime it was time for me to debate with a Christian, if it was time for me to debate with a Muslim, if it was time for me to debate with a 5%, if it was time for me to debate with a Jew, you name them, I was equipped and ready to go to war with them in their Torah, in their Quran, in their Bible, or whatever, or even with the tablets that I had. So
That's
the Holy Tablets was a book that was made by him too, by the way.
Yeah.
You know what you're saying?
That's what makes him stand out and even know that what he's saying is true, because he even breaks it down from every book, the Quran, the Torah, the Bible. Like, he breaks it down within his own book on what he's saying that knows that it's true. He even translated for you and all that. I don't know no leader, no author ever done that. You know what I'm saying?
Guinness Book of World Records for the most books ever written. Check it out.
Like, when he say he got scrolls, man. And to this day, I don't even know how he really even did that. You know what I'm saying? It's the powers that be, man. And what he was standing on to make that happen.
It was power. You know what I'm saying? He powered up. That motherfucker
was
fighting. My man, he has so many scrolls, bro. When I came into Nuwapu, it was around the ending of the Ansar Allah days, the Ansar Allah. And that's when they used to dress up in their garbs and go out in the street and just sell books.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, when I came in during the Nuwapu stage, when before Nuwapu was getting ready to cross over into the AEO, right? And it was dope because, yeah, do you know how hard it is to mofo and sell a book to a goddamn person? Just to have people don't like, your average person ain't into reading. I swear they not. I could tell you because I dealt with them when I used to set up my books outside. Like, we had, like, tables. I would say, like, we used to peddle books pretty much because we used to put our books out on a stand. And we needed a worker's permit, but we didn't have one. So we used to try to find the different areas in New York that we could just set up our books. And we would have almost like 60, 70 books, sometimes 100 books on the table. Mm. And every single book that we had to be able to know the knowledge on that book. So when they pick that book up, we can break down to them on that book on what we understood.
And these are Dr. Malachi books.
Yes, all of them.
Man, that is... Bro.
We had to read those books because in order for us to sell those books... You got to be able to know what's inside that book to break it down to the person so it can become attractive because it just looks like words.
Yeah.
But once you open up Dr. York's books, the book can speak for itself most of the time because he asks so many questions. And people fail to realize, like I told you when you interviewed me, the most powerful symbol of the world is the question mark. It's the art of questioning. Everything around you got to question it.
Everything.
So and that in there, like 360 questions to ask a Christian, 360 questions to ask a Sunni Muslim. Like, it was so intriguing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I missed that era, you know, and
was he with you at that time?
Was he with me?
Yeah, in New York.
Was I with him?
Facts.
We used to go to Georgia to meet up with them, like meet up with him and sit during his lectures and stuff like that. Or when he used to have the lectures in New York at the TAB. I never met Dr. York like person hand, shook his hand or nothing like that. Like I seen him from a distance. Like
yeah.
The way it was set up, you can't just, it wasn't a thing where you could just walk up to Dr. York. He doesn't. First of all, he had enemies, number one. And you don't know who was the enemy from who. So you really had to know him. And he had a closer family within the family. So it's not like I can't request to see him. I could have requested to see Dr. York. But to be honest with you, it was one of those things where I was still a soldier in the street. Like, I was still a foot soldier. Mm. Like, I didn't have the rank to even be near Dr. York. Rank comes with this. You had to start gaining your 360 degrees of knowledge, mental, 360 degrees physical, in order to obtain 720 degrees total. Once you get to that 720 degree mark, that's when you are at that level where you can be able to have a real conversation with him on things that is mind-blowing to the normal person that mm-hmm. don't have an open mind for it. So he was on that level. And in order to get to that level, you had to train yourself to be... It's almost like Kung Fu. You ain't gonna just go from level one to meeting the master.
Yeah.
It ain't gonna happen that way. You gotta go through different stages of belts in order for you to get to the master. And once you get to the master now, he's gonna challenge you to see if you are equipped to be like him or carry on the torch that he has. You know what I mean? And that's how it was with him. But unfortunately, it got cut. You know, the government did what they did, and it affected a lot of people because in most nations, especially in the movements in America, Africans in America, if you cut the head, the whole body falls apart. They just don't keep walking, and that's the problem. We have a lot more grassroots scattered people than we have a leader.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every group has a leader, and we're the only group that don't have one. And when we do get one, as you see, it becomes a threat, a national threat sometimes, or a global threat, you know?
Yeah, so that's real.
Yes, you saw Gaddafi. Why I said Gaddafi? Because Gaddafi was a global threat. Let's face it. He was about to turn his gold into the standard. And if he did, it would have destabilized America. America would have fell. So, you know, things had to be done. But with that being said,
rest in power, man. Damn.
I told you, I had Ella Fitz, no, I seen Ella Fitzgerald. Shout out to Ella Fitzgerald, though. Black History Month anyway. But yeah. Ella Baker, I'm going to show you, we're going to take a look at a speech that she did, and just give me your thoughts on it. All right?
All
right. All right. This is Fearless Abstracts Media Entertainment. This video is fair use, and we're about to get into it.
Human dignity and freedom. I am here to represent the struggle that has gone on for 300 or more years, a struggle to be recognized as citizens in a country in which we were born. I have had about 40 or 50 years of struggle, ever since a little boy on the streets of Norfolk called me a nigger.
What she said?
Did she say Norfolk?
She from Norfolk,
Virginia.
Yes, sir.
Man, stop! Yes, sir. Stop!
Stop! Right in your own backyard. You ain't done that, huh?
Hold on, man. I'm gonna have to study her for real now, bro. Yo,
she's the truth, man. She's the truth,
bro.
Shout out to Ella Baker, man. Rest in power. Hold on, let me keep it going.
I struck him back. And then I had to...
Let's go back.
I struck him back. And a little boy on the streets of Norfolk called me a nigger. I struck him back. And then I had to learn... I had to learn that hitting back with my fist one individual was not enough. It takes organization. It takes dedication. It takes the willingness to stand by and do what has to be done when it has to be done. A nice gathering like today is not enough. You have to go back and reach out to your neighbors who don't speak to you. And you have to reach out to your friends who think they are making it good and get them to understand that they, as well as you and I, cannot be free in America or anywhere else where there is capitalism and imperialism until we can get people to recognize that they themselves have to make the struggle and have to make the fight for freedom every day, in the year, every year, until they win it. Thank you.
The GOAT.
Yeah, alhamdulillah, man.
The GOAT.
Straight GOAT, yo.
So what's your thoughts on that speech right there? How you feel about... Your fellow Seven Cities, Norfolk.
Man, that just put the icing on the cake on, like, this city, man, or this area, man. It's very historical, and we have, like, some real important people that definitely put a stamp in America. You know what I'm saying? So... A lot has happened on this land. So, and what she was like talking about, she was like, I like how what she said, where we at right now is maybe beautiful, but it doesn't stop just here. Like, we have to, we got to go out here and do the work. Go out here and talk to your neighbor. Go out here and
right.
Trying to find a way to better what's going on, because that's what I think that's our issue with things, man, that we so dependent on one person to make this type of change instead of us going out here and making a change for ourselves, man.
Ourselves.
And that is our problem. That is our problem. And it has to be fixed, man. So That's where I got from that.
I fell in love with her, man. I fell in love with her because, you know, this was a time when our women were, they had a lot more self-respect for themselves. And to see that, that we were in a struggle, like we, like a lot of times we were in history in America. And women, black women were feeling the same pain that we were feeling as black men in this country. My generation, it doesn't stem back too far in this country. But I would say this, I do sympathize because I have a lot of family and my wife's side of the family. She's is they're all the way like American through and through. They go way back. Me, I go back to the Caribbean. And when I study and read up on different leaders, I realize this was a collective effort. It wasn't just African-Americans only, but African-Americans are the core of this whole fight that we've been fighting for a long time in America. And when you have people like Marcus Garvey and others that are from other other countries to come in and help contribute to building up America, black America, that is, or just America in total, in as a whole, it's an amazing thing. My honorable mentions are Booker T. Washington, because Booker T. Washington to me was all about trade. He didn't believe in that going to school for liberal arts. You know, liberal arts is more of a W.E.B. Du Bois kind of thing. He was the one that was pushing for liberal arts. And liberal arts degree is cool. You know, you can get, you know, a degree in that and probably get a job somewhere, maybe, maybe not.
Yeah.
But a sure guarantee is what Booker T was arguing with W.E.B. Du Bois back in the day over, and that was for more of us black folks, especially us men, should have been going to school for a trade. Like, they used to have trade in high school, you know. Like, in high schools back in the day, you could do electricity. They had classes on that. They had classes on different things that men used to know how to use with their hands, and whenever they get out of school, they can get a job anywhere working with their hands.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's a trade. A trade is a guaranteed job because if you me and you graduated from high school, we both got our degree or our certificate as electricity, we can go to higher learning and not even higher learning, we can go start our own business. And we both are electrical, both got our electrical business and we kicking it. But they removed that out of the schools.
Yeah.
You know, and that was a number one thing that if we had that, we'll be straight. So Booker T. Washington gets mad props for me because he was all about trade. He was pushing for that. Unfortunately, the majority of us fell on deaf ears and went the liberal arts route, thinking that we can, you know, go into that realm with this integration. And, you know, that's what leads now. This is what leads to what we're talking about today, and what you were talking about earlier. We're about to walk right into that. Okay. So, are we heading in the right direction as a people? What do you think? What's your thoughts on that?
No.
Why you say that?
Because where is we heading? Where are we heading to, bro? As a whole.
That's why I'm asking the question.
Yeah, like it's like as a whole, and you sit back and ask yourself, where are we heading to? Do we even look like we are heading to the a right direction as a collective? And we've been.
I don't think we are.
You feel me? So it's like.
Go ahead. I want to hear your reason. That's the reason why I'm like, yeah. Like, why do you feel that like we're not heading in the right direction?
What because you can just look on our phone, bro. You can just look on our phone. You can go out here and observe and hear the music that us people listening to. you can hear the evil, demonic, negative energy in the music, in the air, being put in the air.
Yeah, I agree.
You can look at our women, how they dress. They don't even dress how they used to dress. Everything's tight. Yeah. Everything being exposed. Nothing is for our imagination no more. Everything is what it is and in front of our face at all times. And no morals. We lack morals this day and time. We lack structure. We don't have a leader. We don't have no black leader no more. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't have no type of leader to lead us to anywhere. So where are we going? Cause we got caught up in putting it into Biden's hands. Cause hold on, first I'ma say it was Obama first, foremost, after, you know what I'm saying, all our, like, our leaders, like our Malcolm X is gone and stuff.
We can talk about that too.
Yeah.
Obama, that's a very good one to talk about.
Yeah. So like, we stop, we I don't know, man. It's a lot of stuff that we stopped doing and got distracted and started falling into the trap. We've been bamboozled. We bamboozled so hard to the point that you don't even know how we can all get out of this as a unit, unless something tragic happens. You feel me?
I feel like our biggest opponent that we have that's destroying us is ourselves.
Mm.
And there's no other bigger opponent. I don't even think you can blame the white man anymore. That's just out the window. At this point, it's just victim blaming. I feel our biggest opponent is ourselves. We're burning ourselves badly. And you know, you ever heard of a person that loves pain? Like, they just love to feel pain.
Yeah,
I forgot what you called them.
Yeah.
I feel that we suffer from that as a people because we're so used to dealing with pain. And that's not every black person, but I would say a good majority of us as a whole in the world, yes. Especially over here in this part of the world.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I feel like we're heading in the right direction, and I don't think we're going to see a clear path anytime soon. I think it's going to probably be a lot more worse than we ever expected. And until our sisters, like you said, get it together, they start to present themselves with a better presentation in this society as far as how they present themselves to the world and how they present themselves to their men. Because remember, every race on this planet has their own women, and their women, majority of the time, show more respect to their men than our women do to us.
Facts.
And when we have a situation like that, remember, this world is not ran by women. It's ran by men. This is a patriarch system. And patriarchs in most countries are ran by men.
That's what it is, bro.
You have a system where it's ran by men, but you're seeing that your men are not being held up as men. They're being treated as, I guess, the dirt that you walk on in the street. Then it's a telltale to the rest of the nation, the race itself. If our women don't have respect for us, who the hell else can respect us? You understand? You ever walk down the street, and tell me if you have. You ever walk down the street and you speaking to someone and you see a girl carrying a guy in the street? You ever seen that? You ever seen a girl carry her boyfriend in the street? Talk down to him or get in his face or quick to fight him? Have you ever seen that happen before?
No.
You never seen that? You never seen a sister and a brother in a confrontation?
Oh, on the street? Yeah. Okay. Now you put it. Okay.
You ever seen how sisters talk to brothers in the street?
Yeah, for sure. Especially at the club. Especially out the club and the alcohol has settled in.
Exactly. Now, the respect is all out the window. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm only talking about this because I want to highlight both parties. I'm not just going to highlight black women alone. I'm going to highlight some things about black men that they need to change too, because that's the only way it's gonna effectively do something. This is my solution. It's not going to happen in our generation. We could forget about it. It might even happen in your child's generation either, or mine's. You know what I mean? It might take some time because this is generations of damage.
Yeah.
This is generations of, I mean, like, psychological damage just being passed down through DNA.
It's like,
I believe this is, go ahead.
It's like, if we not trying to fix it, fix the generational curses now, it's never going to be fixed. It's like,
but you gotta find, see the, so here's what we talk about, right? A lot of times when we talk about this stuff, we're at surface level. When we go subatomic, or we decide to go to the abyss of this conversation, that's when it gets really sticky, because a lot of feelings get drawn up. Like, especially with our women. Our women, it's not easy to talk to a black woman about her mistakes that she's made. You understand?
Yeah.
Black men have been put on a cross for a very long time about their absence in the home, about how they are viewing their women and how they mistreat their women and how they mistreat themselves. All these other different factors that they weigh in on black men, and black men had to sit there and take the brunt of it. They had to have a million man march. They had to have big brother programs. All these things were set into place about teaching young black men on how to be men, because the father was removed from the home. I know a lot of people like to say the father left the home. There was a time that fathers do leave the home, but that's in every race. That can happen in any race. But intentionally being removed from a home is a different story. And that has occurred in American history, right? So with them being removed, who is raising this boy? The mom? Can the mom really teach the boy how to be a man? And then when that man becomes a man, he's not really thinking like a man because he has arrested development. So now these arrested development becomes these Pookie and Ray Rays that you see walking around that don't give a shit about nothing. They don't care about nothing. You understand? And they don't care about women or men. You understand? And being that these young boys are missing their men, guess what these young sisters are missing? They're missing their father, that male figure that they should be showing respect to. You understand? Because if a male figure was in the picture, guess what? When this woman meets you, she already knows how to show you respect, because her dad was there to show her how to respect a man based on how she sees her mother respects her father. That is all missing in our community, bro.
Yeah.
It's missing. And because it's missing, these girls are growing up with these attitudes. And remember, in order for this nation to even exist, who has to be correct?
The
black woman, because guess what? She's the passage to life.
Yeah.
She's the canal. Without her, you won't have us.
She's basically the mothership.
And guess what? The mothership gotta get it right. That means accountability needs to be held on her part too, because she has a dealing with it. I'm not gonna put this all on just men alone. Black women have done themselves wrong too, and they've done each other wrong.
Yeah.
They have lost respect for each other. They don't acknowledge each other like they should. And the sisterhood is a fake sisterhood now. It's not real, because a lot of these girls are not real with each other. They don't like each other. They act like they like each other.
Yeah.
But they will do some foul stuff behind each other back real fast.
Yeah.
And sometimes in the name of love.
Yeah.
Okay? You understand? So when you have sisters like that, that are dressing crazy, they're over-sexualizing themselves, and then they're blaming everybody but themselves for the reason why they are being treated the way they're treated, it's bad. And I think now that we're coming into an age now where men are starting to speak up and voicing their concerns, us black men, not the Pookie and Ray Rays, actual black men that are fathers, that are husbands, that are working men that want to do the right thing for our people, those are the ones that they're bypassing, and they're trying to go for the ones that are not really trying to do anything to help the community, but harm the community more, or give us more of a bad rep and send us back 200 steps them type of the dudes that are more popular than your normal working man or your normal average black man. They look at the average black man as corny, and that's messed up.
Yeah.
So if we could fix that and have them start thinking like actual women and conserve themselves, be conservative a little bit. You don't got to reveal the whole, you don't got to reveal your whole body, mind, and soul to the world. You let that man guess what that is. You let that man be able to take the steps that he need to take to be with you. You know what I mean? Or to even continue a legacy with you. So that's the problem we're having right now.
You know,
and I don't think we're really going to many places.
Yeah, I feel you on that. And it's crazy because Wednesday. Was it Wednesday? Was Valentine's Day? Yeah.
Well, I think Wednesday was Valentine's Day. Correct me if I'm wrong.
It was Valentine's Day. And I noticed that now these days, women on Valentine's Day would just post half-naked pictures on their Instagram. And like they do a photo shoot and they lingerie down. Boom, I'm posting it on Instagram. Bro, my whole feed was nothing but females doing that, bro. And it just goes to show, bro, like, what time we in right now, bro. It just shows what time we in.
Insane.
You will literally, it's like, we can literally take something and do the complete opposite of what it represents or supposedly represent. And then on top of that, then you see the whole reason it's happening is because the origin of Valentine is wicked and fucked up anyway. So now we seeing it play out through women through these times. Cause it's like, why are you doing that? Why? That is not love. You're giving people the mind to lust after you. Cause you half naked in lingerie. Cause it's Valentine's Day. And come get me. Come be my Valentine.
So let me ask you something. In your opinion, do you think that at this current time, black women and black men are moving in a different frequency today?
Yeah.
Than they ever moved in history?
Of course. Of course we are. And that's
with each other.
Yeah, of course. And that's because of social media.
Okay.
Social media and technology, man. We got too much access of everything, bro. And that's what's leading the path of destruction. And that's what I feel like. That is why we about to head to this reset where everything is about to get turned off.
Yeah, let's talk about that reset first. Let's talk about that.
You see how all that played out?
Let's not forget about that reset because that's going to be the second half, and we're about to come into the second half of the hour. We're already 4 minutes in on the second half of the hour where we're going to be going in, diving deep into the reset. Okay? So hold on, strap on, because no homo. Get ready, because it's about to go down with this reset situation we got going on here. But before we go to that, man, I want to go ahead and talk about it's going to be like a conspiracy in a way, you know, because it's conspiracy talk for me. I do want to talk about it.
That's what we're here for, man.
I'm going to show you a video based on what we were talking about. And I would like your opinion on that. Shout out to Harry Belafonte, a historical musician, actor, and I believe he was Caribbean as well. But he played a great role in American history. I said a few words about Dr. Martin Luther King back in the day, that a comment that he had believed that he heard him say or he had read. Is it true? I believe it's true, and we're about to get into it. So,
or he was murdered. Martin said, the last thing Dr. King said to me before he was murdered. Martin said, you know, I sit here deeply concerned, but I suspect we're leading our nation on an integration trip that has us integrating is a burning house. Most of the politicians I know of make promises only to walk into the places of power and then deny us. I guess part of the reason I'm here is to really look through the ravages of the Democratic Party and see if anything is really worth salvaging.
That he felt like he led his people into a burning house. You know, he thought this immigration stuff was a great idea, but it turned out that it wasn't so great.
I think what he's saying, like he agrees with Malcolm X. Like, he agrees what he was heading with everything. And I just feel like with what he said, he's realizing that is way deeper than just coming together. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's way deeper. And that you have to find, like, for instance, when he said that, this is what had popped in my head. It was like, that dream that he had, that he want everybody to come together, whites, black, unified, we're able to walk, hold hands down the street and stuff like that. But, okay, when we're able to do that, then what? Then what we do? And what he, because, like, he said that, but he forgot, like, details of, like, how to, like, really make that solution, like, a real thing, and it goes back to trauma. Like, we have to work on the trauma that has been put on black people first from what the white man, or, you know what I'm saying, what they have done. Build and work off that, figure out a solution around that, and then, like, build off this unity thing and, like, really make something happen. If you just want to consist of, like, just trying to bring people together and we not getting ourselves mentally right, and we not mentally right, emotionally right, bro, it's down for destruction. Because we still pissed off. You know what I'm saying?
It is.
We together, but, nigga, you just fucked my family up years ago type shit. You know what I'm saying? So it's deeper than just coming together, because, all right, we together now. Now what? Now we have to break these chains of trauma and pain, because this is what we was talking about, generation curses and stuff like that. This passes down to generations, these traumas and hurt and pain that goes on. If we not here to fix it and build it together, unify and build it together, then, like he said, it's for destruction. And that's what we're seeing right now. Because look at it, bro. Like, we have everything. We have what he was talking about in the dreams. Now, we able to walk these streets now. We able to be in schools with white people and stuff like that. But we see that it doesn't just stop there. It's more. It's more that we have to do. And that we still haven't got it done. So, yeah, what you was going to ask?
think like there's different ways to view that. You know, I hear what you're saying on that standpoint, but how I see that when he said that is that I viewed him saying integration was a bad idea, because when we were segregated, we were able to, all we had was us, so we were able to do for us by us. You understand? And that means that there were a lot more businesses and a lot more black-owned businesses, rather, and a lot more things that black people had to do together as a people in order to get by and in order to survive. And especially in a country that wasn't really trying to have you even remain in the country to begin with. Back then, before segregation, a lot of black-owned businesses were at its prominence because black people found a safe haven when they went there to, you know, go to the local bakery or go to the local barbershop or go to the local, you know, hardware store, whatever the case may be that was black-owned. There was a lot of comfort in knowing that you were around your own, and it was for us by us.
Yeah.
You know, but when we decided to integrate with the forces that be at the time, these people were not trying. When I say these people, by the way, it's not these people like I'm talking crazy about like white people, but let's be honest, there were Caucasians in that time that were not trying to allow people of color into certain spaces. They weren't allowed in these spaces. So instead of us staying in a segregated lifestyle where we were able to support each other and build each other up, we took our economic gain that we were building with each other and started integrating and giving it back to the people that oppressed us.
Yeah.
You understand? This is not just a American thing. This has happened in the Caribbean as well. It's happened all over the country. It's happened in many other countries. And to see that is still a power play that's being used to this very day is amazing. Because when you want to take over a nation, you just got to bring confusion into it. And integrating, from my view, had destroyed our community more than it helped our community, because now we had to wear it off. We could have been working for our own people and we would have been hired based on our skill instead of our color. When we had to integrate, it turned out to be about color in most aspects. That's why you had a colors only this and whites only that. Mm-hmm. You understand? So It sent us backwards instead of spiraling us forward. It made it more better for white people at the time to have control over what we spend and how we gain. See, if we were like other communities in this country, via Jews or via the Asians or whoever that can circulate their money in their community a lot longer, we will be a lot more stronger in our political opinions when it comes to who we're putting in office, and we'll have our own party to represent us. But because we're integrated, we end up choosing what our open enemy to this day is. We end up choosing with them on a political party of their own because they're dominating the country. And we have to align our ideas with theirs, even if we disagree. And most times, most black people disagree with the policies or the ideologies that they have in this country for Americans. When they think about Americans, they don't think about every American and how would it affect them based on race. They just think about it as their own people because they're the ones that control the media. They're the ones that control the radio. They control everything. So they can spin whatever they want to spin and spin a theory or a type of vision that they want the world to see of anybody. They can destroy it. But if we have our own society and still live within the society, we will be able to function a lot more better with each other, and our economic game will become a lot more stronger, meaning that our dollar will circulate a lot longer in the community as opposed to it circulating one or two times in the hood. It would be circulating up to 10 times if we were able to segregate ourselves instead of integrate. But we integrated so deep into this country with white America that now we are at their mercy. And the only thing that they use us for to keep their stuff flowing is the they use, how should I say this? What keeps them floating is they use our votes. Mm-hmm. Without our votes, a lot of things can't get pushed. So they ride off the mere fact that they can be able to swindle us out of votes. And if we are starting to wake up and starting to see that our votes count, and we don't want to go along with the get along when it comes to, for instance, liberals or Democrats and their ideologies, they want to find a way to replace us. And this is where the replacement comes in that we're talking about. Mm. And it's sad because, you know, this replacement, this big replacement, I believe is going to get rid of a lot of middle class. You know, you heard the old saying, the rich is going to stay rich and the poor is going to be poor. Mm-hmm. There's not going to be a middle class. And the reason why they don't want there to be a middle class is because when you have a middle class, it raises that person that was... The middle class is the true... is like part of the true American dream, because it's still a bridge from being poor to becoming rich. That middle class is right in the middle. Before you even become rich, you have to become a middle class first. Mm-hmm. You don't go from poor to rich overnight because it don't work out for you. You don't see your true worth. You lose your money in a day. That's why a lot of people that come from poor areas, their spending habits is horrible.
Yeah.
Because they don't know how it is to be a middle class, to understand poor and rich at the same time. And that's what a middle class is. You know what I mean? So when you have a situation like that and you have them coming in, migrants coming into this country right now is going to destabilize our country as we know it. And migrants are not coming in just from Latin countries. They're coming in from all over the world.
Yeah.
We're talking about from Africa to China and South America. And even in the Middle East, there's some people are coming across the border and they're walking across, Ray. I mean, they're walking across, like with right past the guards, right past the border patrol. They were border patrol holding their guns. And they're walking right past them. They're coming in, and they, I mean, we're talking about thousands of people a day. Thousands. And they're coming in here, right? Seeking asylum for some. And for others, just a better life. And there's nothing wrong with that, bro. But the problem that I have with that is, you got people that came in here the right way, through immigration, and had to sit here for years and wait to get their legalization to be able to even work in this country and become a citizen of this country. And you just let illegal immigrants and migrants in to the country and give them money, and also to give them stipends and, you know, pilot program planning, and, you know, yeah, you give them all kinds of things that is going to attribute to the demise of us as a people. Because I'm gonna tell you something, right? If you work somewhere and you're making $20 an hour, and a migrant comes along and learn the same thing you learn, but they'll probably take a good maybe $10 cut off of that, and probably work for $10 while you're used to working for $20 as the Native American that you are. Who do you think these businesses to save money gonna hire? You? Or they're going to fire you and hire this person that they know they don't have to pour any real insurance into. They don't have to pour any real other tax plans into them. They don't have to lose with them. They can gain because they don't got to pay them a whole lot, and they don't got to give them a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
They take whatever little bit of money they have and they send it back to their country. And that's how they keep this thing flowing. They could live in a one-bedroom apartment and five people in there. They could do that. It doesn't matter what race it is. If they're seeking asylum, they don't care about their living condition, bro. Yet still, you live in a place where you're required to get paid more because of how you're living and how this country is moving as far as inflation goes. What do you think it's going to do, Ray? Tell me. What do you think eventually Ray's going to lead us?
It's going to cause a civil war. They even talked about it, bro. The people...
Yeah.
The politics are talking about it. So if the politics are talking about it, that means it's coming. So we just got to start paying attention and prep ourselves for it happening. And,
So do you really believe the Civil War is do you think that is inevitable?
Mm-mm. It's just gonna happen. Look how it's setting up. They is setting it up for it to happen, bro. Like on some real shit. They set it up for it to happen that way. Cause there's no way that they are just allowing these people to come in here for no reason. And then think that American people are just gonna accept whatever they bring it to them and then see these people get paid more to them, getting better cribs and living a better life than them. And you don't think there's not going to be no type of chaos coming out of that? You're bugging. And then we have to look in the times we in right now too. Like, we are in those times for it to happen. Like I said, if the politicians are talking about a civil war in their speeches, in their campaign, that means they know it's about to happen. I heard one of the Republicans, what's her name? Nikki? That's all she keep talking about.
Haley?
Huh?
Haley?
Yeah, she keep talking. She keep bringing it up in her speeches as if she knows, like, yeah, something's about to happen. Like,
well, I want to show you something, and we can build off of this, and we're going to talk about it. This is a shout-out to the Joe Rogan Show. He always be cooking up, and he be putting out some good stuff, man. Y'all guys need to check out his content. You know, he be dropping some jewels. I'm the type of person that I eat the meat and spit out the bones.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a look at this.
I've already seen a lot of people in the black community that have turned towards Trump because they're seeing what's going on with this immigration and how it's affecting them, and the fact that these people that are coming in that are illegal immigrants are getting so much aid that they're not getting. And they're like, this is fucking crazy. This is our community, and you're having these people come in, you're giving them food and money and shelter, and you won't do it for us, and we've been here forever, and we're Americans. This is crazy. And then there's a lot of people that, like, even Michael Rappaport, because of the way things are going in the world, is saying that he fucking hates Trump. And he talks wild shit about Trump. Even he's saying that, first of all, that that's not off the table, and that now that's the only solution.
Well, I don't think we're there yet, but I don't think on the basis of the...
Bro. Are you hearing that?
Mm-hmm.
Michael Rappaport is an actor. He's a liberal. He always go hard at Trump. Talk shit. Always talking trash about Trump. Now, even he's on the same squad riding with all the conservatives talking about we need to do something because we're going in a bad direction right now. Like,
yeah.
Trump is probably the only solution right now to slow down this bleeding that's happening right now.
Yeah.
And you're about to hear something that this man is about to say is going to blow your mind, bro. It's going to make you think. It's going to give you a whole nother angle because we've been looking at this one way for a minute. And, bro, let's just get back to it. You're about to see some stuff, and it's going to have you thinking.
Time he would have his temperament or his ability to build a team. You know, Trump is kind of a one-man show, and his team-building ability, I don't think, is enough to solve the problem either. But the punchline of that is if Kennedy can't do it for whatever reason, politics gets in the way, we still have to get whatever that cabal is out of power immediately. This could not be more of an emergency. We've seen through COVID how dangerous these people are, how little they care about our well-being, and we have to rally around whatever it is that addresses this problem. And, you know, as much as I'm not a believer that Trump on his own can do the job, I would far prefer him to another standard bearer of that cabal. The cabal is too dangerous. And I say this, as you know, I'm a lifelong Democrat, right?
You know what that man said? He's a lifelong what?
I didn't catch that last. He like what?
He's a lifelong Democrat.
Mm.
And even we saying, like, yo, we gonna need Trump in here. This is getting bad.
Yeah.
Trump talked about this back in 2018, bro. And he was talking about it before 2018, but I got an article that you could pull up, and it would show Trump talking about that same situation that's happening right now, that they was coming, and they're bringing the worst of them. You understand? Like, mm-hmm. They're coming. He was talking about, you know, a lot of illegal immigrants from these different countries in South America, but he was also insinuating that they were going to be coming from other countries, too. And to be careful, because when they come in, you don't know who and what. They could be the capital T word. You know what that is. Cause the 9/11ers, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That they could be them type of people. It could be anybody. It doesn't matter because they're not checking them. Mm-hmm. But let's get back into it.
This is my party that I'm telling you cannot be trusted with governance. But that's where we are.
The border crisis.
Mm-hmm.
So you went and saw the migration. You saw the groups of people that are making their way up through.
Yeah, I was invited. Actually, my son Zach, and I went to Panama, where I have some history. I did my bat work on Barrow, Colorado Island in Gatun Lake, the Panama Canal. So Panama is a place I'm familiar with. But Michael Yon invited us down to go look at the migration in the Darien province of Panama, which is the province bordering Colombia. As you probably know, there's a gap in the Pan-American Highway, about 60 miles, that were never built. And this highway that otherwise stretches from Prudhoe Bay, Alaska, to the southern tip of South America.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know about that highway?
No.
All right, so allegedly there's a highway, right, that connects from America all the way down to South America. That means you could drive from North America to South America, past Central America. But the highway is so damaged that it's impossible to go back through that highway. The highway has like a big ass fucking gap, and there's a jungle there. So if you could survive through that and make it past that, you can get into America and just come straight through. But you're about to see some amazing shit. You're about to say that's going to have you thinking. Let's get back to it.
And what's there is a tremendously significant and very difficult jungle in the Darien Gap. So there's a national park there. And ordinarily, people do not cross the Darien Gap. It is a famously difficult obstacle. And what we see there is that the international community is encouraging a massive migration of people from South America into Central America, and that almost all of those people are ending up crossing our southern border and entering the U.S. The ones who are questioned are claiming political asylum, which is not accurate. So we talked to many, many migrants, and the universal story amongst the migrants who would talk to us is that they were fleeing bad economic conditions in the direction of what looks like greater opportunity. They've been told by the international community that they should come across the Darien Gap, where many of them are not surviving the trek. It's extremely dangerous. And they're migrating north. Now, the really troubling thing, though, is that migration is familiar in one way. It looks a little bit like the migrations of Central Americans that migrated north when we were kids. But there is another migration. There is a migration of Chinese immigrants that looks different, feels different, and is being housed in a totally separate way in Darien for reasons that are not in any way obvious. Now, I don't know exactly what to make of that. I have hypotheses. There are no more than that. But the Chinese migration is not forthcoming about why it is migrating. It is composed mostly of young military-age men. There are some women present, but it's not 50-50 by far. And the international community has arranged separate encampments. The Chinese are in many cases traveling a separate way across the Darien Gap. They're skipping some of the worst parts of it, traveling by boat. And as I think I mentioned, they are, when asked where they're from, where they're going, why they're going, they are uninterested in talking. There's a hostility to it that I found shocking. Because for one thing, if you imagined folks from almost anywhere in the world were heading to the U.S. because they didn't like the way things were in China, they feared their government, they thought that there was economic opportunity, they would be curious about Americans. These are soon to be their countrymen. They would tend to be interested in talking. And even if they, for some reason, because they had lived under a totalitarian regime, felt that they couldn't talk, they wouldn't be broadcasting hostility. They would be ambivalent or something. And that is not the impression that they leave when interacting with them.
So you understand what he's saying there?
Yeah, like, it's a lot of mixed in culture that's coming in that's going to cause problems here.
Yeah, because, you know, they're seeking citizenship.
Yeah.
So let's say when you come into the country, they grant you citizenship if you join the military. If you're seeking asylum, what you think they're going to do? Join the military, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's say we have chaos going on in this country, right? Because we're in the rabbit hole now. So now we're fully inside this rabbit hole. So now we're going to talk some deep shit.
Yeah.
So let's say they want to get their citizenship, and now they go into the military. Right now, currently speaking, the military has its lowest in history retention rate as far as how many people are joining the military.
Yeah.
If we had Americans that were in the military serving this country, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you have martial law, what do you think happens? Do you think the police take control of the state? Who takes control of the state when you have martial law?
National Guard.
That's correct, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if the National Guards take charge, and if they have to, if there's civil unrest because of the way people feel like they're treated and they're feeling like they're coming to a point where they're desperate because there's no jobs. The jobs are being taken up by the migrants, and we are experiencing a recession like we've never seen. So now people are becoming desperate. So people are having a civil unrest, right?
Mm-hmm.
If that happens, and you got more migrants that are seeking to become immigrants in the country to get their papers, join the military, do you think they have the same connection to you as an American would? Because if you had Americans that were in the military and they had, let's say there's a civil unrest and martial law takes place, they're not going to be, they're not going to, if there's an executive order to start deleting people. Most Americans that are American that is serving their country ain't going to try to kill their fellow countrymen. They're not going to do it. Because you're wiping out a whole bunch of innocent people.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are from another place where you have no real connection to the country, the only connection you have is you getting your papers and you'll do whatever they tell you to do in order for that to happen, what do you think is going to happen in this grand reset when a civil war happened and martial law has to take place? We will probably be outnumbered by these same people or have great, there'll be a great numbers of these same people that are coming into the country seeking for citizenship and asylum, that are in the military, that are in the police force, that are joining all these different places in order to gain some kind of citizenship,
mm-hmm.
to turn against you. Meaning that they can follow orders. Like, you know, in Star Wars, they say, commence Order 66.
Yeah.
Like, that's the nation. The Great Reset is happening right now as we speak, Ray. It's happening right now. And this year is the beginning. This is the year of the awakening. This is the beginning. This is when you're going to start to see the wave become a tidal wave. You're about to see something right now, bro, that it's going to blow your mind about the Chinese coming in, along with everybody else, and what it can possibly do to this country in a matter of years to come.
Bro, you know that we've been talking about this for the longest.
Yeah.
And we are seeing the preparation of it happening. People have been thinking that this is a game. People have been thinking that this is just some conspiracy theory type of mess. No, they're starting to aim where it's going to hit home. It's going to start fucking messing with your money, your pockets, your aid, what you getting, your insurance and all that. It's going to play into part because they're are allowing these people to come in to do what they want, and they're going to pay for it, and they're going to let them join the military, and they're going to make them turn against you. Bro, they don't, for one, you're absolutely correct about the National Guard, and when shit hit the fan and chaos and everything, they're going to definitely take over, and Walmart going to be them the concentration camps, the FEMA. They already been, bro, we've been talking about FEMA for a long time, since 2000, since 2014, I knew about FEMA. And we are, as a collective, we are starting to see that they are promoting FEMA and bringing people in for FEMA so they can get ready for what's about to happen. We just think that FEMA is just this organization that's just helping people with emergencies and stuff, but whole time they don't even know the emergency is about to be when the reset happened, and that they've been prepping for this. Like, for instance, I'm going to bring back something I seen a long time ago that even got me on this journey of, like, really learning everything and being a conspiracy theory and stuff like that. And what I seen firsthand was, I'm trying to remember what area this was in, but them coffins, bro. Them big tub coffins they got laid out. I'm trying to remember what state is in. I think it's Georgia, Texas, somewhere down south. They got them coffins, and it's by the millions. And it's by the millions, and it's stacked.
Getting ready.
And they've been getting ready, bro. So we are seeing the preparation in it, and then it's written, bro. It's scripted. All this is scripted and it's been written already. Why you think we able to pinpoint this shit out? Because, bro, for one, to do what they gotta do, they have to let us know. It's the galactic law for them to do that on this planet. Anything that they do that is,
they have to let us know they're gonna do it.
Exactly. They have to let us know that they're gonna do it. They're not gonna let us in exact detail. But sometimes they do. But you know what I'm getting with this. So they have to let us know. So that's why we are able and been pinpointing this out, that this was bound to happen, bro. So, yeah, man. Like, I won't say it's crazy. It's just mind-boggling to even, like, see that it's slowly going on, but people are still and people are still not giving a fuck or understanding or want to understand.
Well, let's explore this some more and watch how deep we dive into this one.
So I found that utterly alarming, and I came to wonder if the migration of people coming up from South America, many of whom, by the way, are not South American. There are people coming from the Middle East. We met Afghans, people from Iran, Yemen, all over the world. They land in Ecuador, which has no visa requirement, and then they migrate through Colombia into Central America and straight up to the U.S. But in any case, that massive migration seems to provide a cloak for this other migration from China, which is nothing if not mysterious.
He had to take a deep breath.
Why do you think the government is allowing the border to be so porous? And why are they resisting when Texas tries to do something about it?
Well, I always worry when we're trying to understand what's happening and the information is not being shared with us. You have to ask yourself the question of how many separate things are in play, right? Before I went to Panama, I thought there was a migration of people. Now I think there are two. One of them's clearly a migration, and the other one could well be an invasion. So if I know that there are two things, then I can put them in two categories, and I can ask myself the question, why is this being allowed, and why is that being allowed? The consensus, maybe consensus is too strong, but the belief amongst many who have been on the story of the migration for years now is that this is a ploy to create voters, Democratic voters. And I don't...
Hey, watch this movie too. Gangs of New York.
Gangs in New York?
That movie, Gangs in New York.
What is on?
That movie, it is, you could probably catch it on, I want to say it's on any, you'll probably catch it on any platform, to be honest with you. You probably could even catch it on YouTube. Gangs in New York by Leonardo DiCaprio. It gives you a full kind of a description of what we're experiencing today.
Mm.
It's very good. You know how movies imitate life.
So
that's a good film to look at. Gangs in New York. It's about migrants coming in. As soon as they hop off the ship, they go right into the war to fight for Abraham Lincoln, to fight the South.
Mm.
Very interesting, man. Very, very good film. Check that joint out.
Vendetta
is another good one.
I'll definitely check it out.
Yes, sir. So let's get back to it.
I think that's impossible. I think that's probably playing a role. I don't know how realistic it is. I don't know whether or not it is clear that migrants necessarily carry the likelihood of voting blue that the blue team imagines. But anyway, I think that that's a plausible explanation in part, but I don't think it really covers it. There are other hypotheses that are darker. There is talk about the possibility of trading citizenship for military service.
Hear that?
I think that's a very frightening prospect, but I didn't invent the idea. It has been discussed, and the problem is that to the extent that we saw things like the vaccine mandate drive out the skeptics from the military, this process would also bring in a lot of people into military service who would have more reason to follow immoral orders than a citizen soldier who had been American their whole life. In other words, if the power structure is granting you citizenship, which you want, in exchange for your obedience, then what is it that would cause you to say no? So if you wanted a force that was capable of acting on behalf of tyranny against Americans, then a force that doesn't have a deep history with the rights of being an American, that doesn't have a long-standing allegiance to people within the country, that force would be potentially more compliant, and that worries me.
That should worry you. I really didn't consider that until you just said that. But my thought about this idea of the military turning on the citizens was always, but the military is citizens, and many of them are deeply patriotic and unlikely to do something like that. But if they did swap out immigrants and they did do that, holy shit.
This is exactly...
Then you have a real coup.
This is...
You heard what he just said?
Yeah.
Then you have a real coup, bro. If you're able to swap out citizens and put in migrants in there, you have a real coup. That is a coup. That is a coup, bro. And I want to shout out my family from Panama. My family's Panamanian. Right. And I've spoken to family members that have told me that they know people that have done this, and they're right now in the States working, and they brought their kids and everything here. And all he had to do was just come across. They don't have to go through no process. So this shit is for real. It's just not being highlighted as heavy as it should be. But why make it a big thing if this is something that they're trying to do? They gotta have a distraction. Right now, the biggest distraction they got is that case where Fannie Willis, I think her name is, in Georgia. Mm. She was...
Whatever she was doing is backfiring.
Are you keeping up with that?
Yeah, I keep it up. I was paying attention today. Backfire, bro.
It was like watching Scandal.
She's already caught up. As much as she want to lie and say that she ain't got nothing to do with it, the dude already admit that she came over and slept with her. So
just clapping it.
So
just clapping it. He was clapping it.
So she want to deny it in front of you. You seen her response when she took the stand?
I saw how she got down.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I saw how she got down.
So it's like, man, like, you doing all that extra mess, man. Just go ahead. Like, the dude already testified and said that you did it. Just stop putting on the show, man.
Yep.
But that's that just goes to show how karma works too, man. You putting all these people in jail, locking them up for these RICO charges and shit. And all this. Yeah,
she's dirty, bro.
Obviously, she's dirty. Like, you gonna mess with a married man?
Listen, bro, when I was watching that, this was my reaction right here. Yeah, I was shocked when I was watching that film, bro. I couldn't believe the stuff that was... Yo, she was running it like it was her show.
Yeah.
She's the one that's on the stand getting cross-examined. I couldn't believe it, bro. I was like, yo, Black... This is just not making sisters look good at all.
It's
a bad image about Black women right now, bro.
And this is the second year it's been looking like this. Just pay attention. Pay attention how they doing things, yo. Like Megan Thee Stallion. And that whole court thing. Like, come on, man. Come on. So it's like they making a image and an example out of us, man. And in these crazy, crazy times. But at the same time, we do it to ourselves. We do it to ourselves, man.
We do it to ourselves, man. When I saw her and how she was talking, she come from a place like this, bro. Damage. That's exactly what was wrong. She had emotional damage, bro. She sounded like a scorned woman.
Yeah.
And she like, and the crazy part is she just kept throwing
shade,
like jabs, like, yeah. I'm like, you're a liar. I'm like, yo, I've never seen somebody behave. Yo, first of all, where's the judge's nuts? Like, where's his nuts at?
not there.
He had no balls. He could have controlled his courtroom for some reason.
Well, he look at this point, he probably don't even care. He just know that is you're done. You're done for him. He just want to hear what you gonna say. So
yo,
he probably playing the observing game. Cause either way, she down, bro. She down. She down.
Nah, she going down. But it's important that she lose this case, because if she wins, that would be a big problem. Because that will probably be the nail in the coffin to try to take Trump down. And if we lose Trump, we're definitely going to lose somebody that's going to take some kind of stance on this border crisis that we got going on.
Yeah.
It's crazy because some people think this is a good idea to have these people come in, to have migrants come in from all over the world. And it's not right, because it's not a proper process being done.
So, you know. So if she win, you telling me Trump is not gonna be able to run.
But Trump might not be able to, yeah.
And if she lose, it's gonna be off the table?
Trump is, that's gonna be off the table. They because the case is gonna be compromised.
See, you know,
it's tainted because of her having allegedly having relations with her district attorney.
And I think
the prosecutor. He's the prosecutor, yeah. Right? I believe he's the prosecutor, she's the district attorney, or something like that. But
she didn't set her own self up, man.
Yeah, she set her own self up. She out here getting criminals and still committing a crime while she's doing it. You know, I was living with a married man committing a crime.
I mean, I won't give him a whole lot of money. It was like $2,000 here.
$200. Who calls for a contract and spend $200, man?
Big.
You know that's a lot.
You know what I'm saying? You know that's a lot. That don't even sound right.
You are fake news. You are fake news.
That's exactly what that is. Fake goddamn news.
Man.
She's lying, bro. Like, who lies like this? And then, I get it. I know a lot of black people that is a common thing to keep cashing on you. Like, keep cashing the house, keep cashing on you. But then, you got cash for everything? Stop lying. Stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah, it makes us look bad, man. It making us look bad, man.
And
that is going to show that Trump will be president. Yeah, and Trump going to be the last one, too.
Voting for Trump.
Huh?
A lot more black people are voting for Trump.
Oh, yeah, for sure. There's still people going to be voting. Yeah, they're going to vote for Trump. They don't want to see no Biden after all the shit he done did. And not doing. Yeah.
You really want to see a Biden? Yo, let me tell you my conspiracy theory on this, bro. Let me get the close up for both of us here.
Yeah.
The conspiracy with this whole thing, I believe that Biden is not going to make it by the end of the year, bro.
They talking about it. Yeah.
I think before the election's completely over, something might happen where he has to step down, or he might be deleted or go bye bye. He might transition onto the. He might, you know, he has to go. I believe that once that happens, you're gonna have Kamala come into power for a short period of time. She's not gonna be in power for a very long time, because I think most of America ain't feeling her. She's been quiet through this whole evolution. She's lied on several occasions. You understand what I'm saying? I strongly believe that if once she come into power, there can only be one way to take her out, and that's with another black woman. And guess who that other black woman might be?
Michelle Obama.
Bingo. Now, based on what we both know about Obama and the madness that came behind that, What do you think she's going to be, a 2.0?
Of course. Michael will be a 2.0.
Biden's on his way out, bro. Have you ever watched how he moves lately? I think he has dementia.
Bro, that is not even Biden. That's not Biden, man.
It's weaker than birdies.
It's a shape shifting reptilian of that motherfucker, bro. I'm gonna be completely honest. Just look at his skin. Just look how put his skin is on his forehead, bro. Huh?
Yeah, I believe you.
Yeah.
He don't look real at all, man.
I mean, when he made that post on Super Bowl night.
The Super Bowl, yeah.
That says it all. To be honest with you. That said it all. Yeah, what type of person he is. He letting you know front and center.
Yes, sir.
He a demon and some more shit.
Yes, sir.
Cause why would you post an image of you with red eyes glowing and talking about is well scripted and then add the Chiefs? And I feel like he add the Chiefs in there to throw it off, to make it seem like he's talking about the Super Bowl. No, he's not talking about the Super Bowl. He's talking about that $95 billion plan that aid that the senators are allowed to happen now. It went through during the Super Bowl night. You go check that out. They went through with the aid, so now they about to give the money out, dish the money out. And bro, they killed CEO, the Nigerian CEO bank.
I read that.
Yeah, guy.
I read that.
And he was heading to the Super Bowl.
I read that. And he then that tweet, he put out that tweet not shortly after. And what he did, bro, I looked at my wife and we was looking at the TV, bro, and I did this shit. Look at this. Somebody come and look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Yo, I couldn't believe what I was seeing, bro. I had to stop it and replay it again and just looked at it like, this is a true shapeshifter. He's a reptilian for real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bro.
Like, yo, are we seeing what's going on? That whole thing with Taylor Swift. Listen, there's a rabbit hole, bro, about that whole thing that...
The whole thing.
That'd be another hour conversation long.
Hold on, but we gotta at least touch it a little bit. Cause somebody had brought it up. They was talking about how they had Usher perform. The Usher... And then you have Taylor Swift ushering the Swift of what's going on. And you know the whole thing, the Super Bowl is a ritual anyway. Like, we just gone.
It's documented.
And it's scripted. So it's like what they got going on and us and our energy is tuned into it. We basically cursed ourselves to what's to come. And yeah, bro. They on some shit, man. They on some shit. They even had Ice Spice up there wearing an upside down cross. So you already know what time it is.
She did, and she threw up the symbols too.
Mm-hmm. You know what time it is. The
she threw up the symbols.
And they
said there was a lot of celebrities out there like you've never seen.
Yeah.
A lot of celebrities. A lot of celebrities were there for the ritual.
And it was in Las Vegas, over there next to Area 51.
The city, that's the city that what they call Las Vegas. It was a devil's playground, I guess.
It's between Las Vegas and Los Angeles.
Well, Los Angeles is the city of the Los Angeles. That's true. We're both hand in hand. They're both hand to hand, bro. Let's get back into this one. Let's finish this off right here.
What spooks me is that in thinking about the various scenarios 5 years ago, even 3 years ago, I would have said, I fear that somebody is going to issue immoral orders to the military, but I'm convinced that the military will divide over them, that there are those who will carry out immoral orders and there are others who won't.
And at the same time, there's a senator, I think, from Massachusetts that introduced a bill to ban what they call paramilitary training, which is just training with firearms, like to get better at them.
Right.
So the idea is you have a right to keep and bear arms, but you can't be good at them because you can't practice.
So if you imagine, in my naive state a few years ago, the idea was, well, you have a very well-armed populace. You have a military that's likely to be divided about immoral orders. I don't like the sound of that, but I don't think that it's a slam dunk that the tyrants win, because the part of the military that's not going to follow immoral orders and the citizenry that will fight to defend the republic, that's a pretty powerful force. But then you have vaccine mandates, which force out most of the people who are independent-minded from the military. And then you have the idea that migrants might be granted citizenship in exchange for military service. And
has that been introduced anywhere? Or is this just a complete hypothesis?
No, it's not a hypothesis. Actually, maybe, Jamie, you could look it up. I don't want to slander anybody, but yes, I believe it has been raised by at least one senator.
Jesus Christ.
Is that the paramilitary thing?
No. The other thing. The thing about granting citizenship to illegal immigrants in exchange for military service.
So, in any case, I did not... It took a lot of thinking about different pieces of the puzzle to begin to wonder about something like this. But having wondered about it, it doesn't disappear from my mind as, oh, that's just simply crazy. Actually, this, given the number of things that don't add up, this begins to explain them in, you know, a reasonably parsimonious way. And it has me worried. But that is not inherently, in fact, it is probably not the same thing as what would explain the concentration of Chinese migrants.
Right.
The Chinese migrants presumably have left China with the knowledge of their government. The bias of that group in favor of males is something we can talk about if you want to, but it has a, you know, an obvious interpretation. And that ought to frighten us as well, right? So at the same...
How many are we talking about? Is there an estimate of how many military-aged Chinese men have gotten into the country?
Now, I'm always hesitant at this point in the conversation because what I saw is what one person looks at through their eyes. So I'm in no position to estimate that. But I believe we are talking about tens of thousands. Certainly, when we're talking about the entire migration, we are talking about millions. And the number that is flowing through Central America, you know, the flow-through rate in a given day is many thousands. So it's hard to know, and I would want somebody who was in a position to look at an estimate, not just a, you know, a spot check.
So if the tyrannical government is playing some long game of chess, these are the pieces that would be moving.
Closest I could find out a number.
Chinese immigrants who entered the U.S. without authorization. 2023, it's over 30,000. Cool. Look at how low it was in 2021.
Yep.
And how high it is in 2023.
What's the source on this?
This is the U.S. Customs and Border Protection.
Oh, my God. And that's probably a low estimate. You know, it's probably like VAERS.
When I was looking up the other thing about the military, I think you have to have a green card first.
Oh, and then give them a green card.
But that's also, this also was talking about the numbers are down for the Air Force, the Army.
Yeah, for everybody. They're actually asking people who retire to come back.
Is it a wobble?
That's crazy.
What's your thoughts on that? What do you think? How do you feel? How do you feel about that? Do you think that this is more of a prominent thing because it's election year and they need their numbers?
This is not about that. It's not about that. It's about that. It's beyond that, because they know how to fluctuate all that. You've seen that shit with the whole Trump thing. They've been messing with the voting, the numbers, the the votes and getting people on. You know what I'm saying? They've been doing this, like with Bush. Like, we can't forget about Bush and Gore. They've been able to get presidents in, bro. So that's nothing. They using Trump as a tool to distract us from what they actually doing, bro. This is an agenda thing. They are pushing an agenda and they're gonna follow through. And part of that agenda is to wipe out the whole population, bro. They have to wipe out millions. Millions. They did it with COVID, didn't work. So now they gotta.
I think COVID was an experiment.
Of course. Bro, everything that we're doing and that's going on to this day is an experiment. Everything. Like, literally everything. We are facing and going through day to day working for these people and artists. It's an experiment, man. And I tell you this right now, this book right here, I want people y'all to read this, man. Y'all read this. This is that book alone would tell you, basically explain what is going on right now with the whole chaos. They say for a change or a reset to happen, it must be chaos. And that's where we are heading to, people. We are heading to complete chaos.
One-way trip.
You feel me? And like we've been saying, man, we have to prepare ourselves for the worst. And
yeah, my thing is that we are a people of reaction. We react. We don't proact. And that's our downfall, is mm-hmm. that we wait till something happens and then we react to it instead of being proactive to prevent it from happening in the first place.
Exactly.
I think that's something that we need to fix immediately.
Where you think, how could we fix it?
Being proactive, it takes conditioning and humility. It takes discipline. Remember when we spoke before, I told you discipline is one of the biggest things people need.
Yeah.
And in our community, we have no discipline because we have no order. And if we don't have no order, no discipline, we have chaos within our own community. So when you have bigger chaoses that come, we're so distracted by each other, especially with this gender war that we got going on, which mm-hmm. is a big culprit, that it forces us to not want to have a better solution to the problem. I think the biggest solution, like I said, is literally humility and discipline. We have to start having these tough conversations about how we are interacting with each other as a people. And just as men like to take criticism, women need to start learning how to take criticism. And mm-hmm. being able to take the criticism, constructive criticism at that, and reinventing themselves to be better and to give out better products of young women coming up. And women, I think, need to start holding each other accountable. See, I will always have men do that a lot more. Like, I would talk to a young brother. I could see myself in that young brother to say, hey, listen, let me talk to you for a second. Boom. Older women have a hard time communicating with younger women because 9 times out of 10, more times than none, they are trying to be them. Mm-hmm. A lot of women see themselves as trying to be like them instead of seeing themselves in the person to give the person some kind of guidance on what they need to do to become a better woman. Men have to do that with young men. We got to teach them how to become better men in society. Not Pookies and Ray Rays, because you know they're not going to teach their kids nothing because they don't want to be around for their kids. But for men like myself, I'm a man, and you are as well.
Yeah.
These are the things, this is the burden that we have to carry to make sure we keep our men straight. But we also have to command the respect from our women, because our women have to respect the fact that they're dealing with real men and not little boy toys, not little boy boys or little Pookie Ray Ray down the block that just be fucking mad girls, excuse my language, and out there just doing reckless behavior, mindless behavior, and destroying the community more. If we could slow down that right there and men start to have more penis discipline, as they call it, then I think we will have a a better function in society, because our women are going to, a lot of our women, not all, a lot of our women are going to be running amok thinking that it's okay to behave that way because they could still get a man anyway. But if a man shows that he has discipline, and he has discipline in his royal crown that he has, and he knows how to control his staff, then it would not be easy for a girl to just show up and just show her breasts or show her behind, and you ready to go that direction and not learning the software. Because one of the things that's wrong with our women is that a lot of them, their software is corrupted. They think like feminists, they're supposed to think like womanist, like thinking like actual women. They think like feminists, meaning feminists on the wrong end, like feminists, meaning that men should not be a part of this whole equation. It's just all about women, and men are the most. If you're sounding like you're a man, you're a misogynistic or whatever. That's damaging. That's not helping us move forward. What will help us move forward is that you accept your man for being as masculine as he is. You don't have to be toxic, because being masculine ain't being toxic. You're just being a man. And part of being a man is learning to provide, protect, and secure the nation. You understand what I'm saying? And keep it going, leading your nation. You're supposed to be the leader of your household. We don't do that. We don't even have that. So we have total chaos. Yeah. And with that chaos, it's easy for them to get into our women's head, because our women graduate at a higher rate. They are the forefront when it comes to any kind of anything happening in the country that involves a crisis. They get involved in more crises that happen outside of their own than they do in their own. You understand? And what I mean by that is they're always the ones on the front line. But when it comes to their own, like talking to, helping other young women understand that they have to be desirable to a man one day in order for a legacy to continue, they're gone out of that picture. They don't even want to talk about that, because guess what? Their mother didn't teach them anything about that, because their mother didn't know how to be a woman or be a wife or a mother. This was traumatic issues that occurred in the community. Just like how we talk about all the time, black men missing fathers so they don't know how to become men. We had mothers in the household not even acting or behaving like women.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then when you had things like abortion coming into the hood, and in many other places too that are of minority filled, those things contribute to the liberalism of women. So women now don't have to feel like, you know, if I have sex and I have a baby, I might end up having to have this child. Or they know if you can delete a child, their worry about you having sex is minimal. I'm not saying it's totally deleted, but you're not going to really care, because you know you got an abortion clinic that you can go to delete your baby.
Yeah.
That's why liberals are more so for abortions than conservatives are. I'm about preserving. And I'm about preserving based on choices that you make. You know what I mean? A lot of times when you have single baby mothers, it's because of the choices that they make. Nobody told you to choose that guy. You could have chosen a better man.
Yeah.
You got to live with the choices that you make. You made that choice. You got to live with it. There are other, there's red people show red flags all the time, bro. And if you could ignore that because you just want to feel good, and you like that feel good that he provides you, then guess what comes with that? Whatever that feel good is, whatever behind that feel good. Whether it be a man that you're going to get that's going to take care of you or be there with you to help you grow, and you grow him, he grow you, or you're going to be with Pookie down the block that's going to bust you down and go clap somebody else's cheeks right after. Your choice.
Real spill.
And that destroys us, because guess what happens now? We got a bunch of young little knuckleheads growing up, right, that don't got a father and their mother too hood to understand that she ain't no mom and dad. A lot of these young women that have a single mother think they're a mother and a father. They be like, yeah, it's Father's Day. And shout out to me, because I'm the real dad. No, you ain't.
Hey.
No, you not.
Hey.
Stop lying. Anytime I hear that, this is what comes to mind.
It's the biggest piece of dog shit that I have ever heard.
And that's facts. That's on facts. That's dog shit, literally. And only a man can teach a young boy how to become a man. And only a woman can teach a young lady how to become a woman.
Well, hold on. Like, there's another issue is moving too fast. That's like one of our main issue in our generation is moving.
Because we're over-sexualized.
Exactly. And we get what we get. And then we get mad when we have all this single mothers and single dads and all this other stuff. It's because of that. We move out of lust and what we can get for right now instead of actually learning the person and growing with the person.
For future wise.
Exactly. And understand their mindset. And I'm not only saying this because I'm guilty of it myself, but I'm just letting you know this is a issue and a problem and we have to address this because this is the root of why certain things is the way it is. You know what I'm saying? But it also comes from, again, it goes back to the parents. The parents not properly loving their child. So they finding or filling that void and go finding somebody to love them. And thinking that this temporary love feeling they feeling is a all time thing that's going to be a forever thing. And putting yourself in situations, predicament that you necessarily don't want to put yourself in because you don't even know the person that you're dealing with yet. But you trying to fill this void and thinking that this is love, you're tend to have these situations where you have these, you know what I'm saying, these issues and problems with men and women, especially in our Black community. That's have to be fixed, and we have to stop doing that. So,
yeah, I think what happened is we got, it's now considered a pointing fingers because everybody pointing fingers at each other now. Mm-hmm. It was you the reason why? Nah, you the reason why? And it's total chaos, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the fingers are being pointed by men now more than there has ever been because we come to a threshold where enough is enough.
Yeah,
you've been telling Black men for a long time that we are killing each other. We don't love our women. We should. They even spread a rumor that Black men kill Black women every second of, I think every per second of something of the day or whatever the case may be. They made up so much controversies that was thrown in by the higher powers that be to engulf us to turn against each other. And for us, it's not more so we turn against our women. We love our women. I love Black women, and I will always love Black women. But they have to learn to conduct themselves a lot more better than they are today. And the hit dog will holler. So you know it's not for every Black woman. But the ones that are offended, you know they're offended because the hit dog will holler. If it don't apply, let it fly. Anytime they talk trash about Black men, if it don't apply to me, I let it fly. Unless you're talking directly to me or you're trying to say something to insinuate something bad about men, Black men in general, in front of my son, then I don't let, because my son is the future. He's my legacy. So I want him to understand what kind of power he possesses as a Black man coming up in this society, in this world, and how he can harness his power for greater good and not be stereotyped or, you know, stigmatized or whatever the case may be, you know. So I feel like the biggest problem right now is our sisters getting themselves together. Once our sisters are on board and they understand that the real men, not these little knucklehead, you know, pookies and shit, not them, but real men that are here and we're ready to go to war for y'all to make sure that we secure y'all and keep y'all from being single mothers out there, I think that until they get that point that those men are here, we're going to have total chaos still. Because even when you have a real man in front of a woman, she don't even see it because she's so blinded by what Instagram is showing her the beauty standard is supposed to be. You know, you got Snapchat that do the same thing.
Absolutely.
You got Twitter in its heydays before it became X was like that. You got all these different platforms. Yo, I can even look, the biggest rabbit hole platform of them all is friggin' TikTok. You know what I'm saying? So when you see all these different things that are distracting our women, you got to remember, it's hard to redirect damages that's already been done. And it's been done by the parents, like you said. And when you have lack of education on certain matters, you behave like what we're seeing today.
Yeah.
Lack of education, man. And it is not necessarily about school. It's about the education of who you are as a person. And
Facts.
We have
too many parents that don't know who they are, and it's passing it down to the kids.
Like a virus.
For real.
Like a virus. And when we have the situation that we got going on in today's time, it's a scary thing, because when this whole purge thing break out,
yo.
All right, there we go. I don't know why. It just bounced
me out. I'm like, not when you get into the
nitty gritty. It bounced me out, bro. You know, I'm going to do a couple of closing words, because I'm already almost a half an hour over my time.
Yeah,
you know, these conversations, I didn't even crack the surface.
Yeah.
These conversations are going for hours.
Yeah, it's deep,
that's
man.
That's why we got the episodes, and later on in the year, you are coming back. And
for
we're going to dive deep, because this is election year. And in election year, you don't know what.
Yeah, you don't know what to expect.
Might as well just sit back and watch.
Bro, it's a lot going to happen, man. We got in April, we got the eclipse going on. They already got people, they already got schools in Ohio taken out of school for it. They already know what time that whole eclipse thing is. That eclipse is basically letting us know the signs that they've been saying in the Bible that what's to come with the whole reset thing. So, and the eclipse is a part of that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. The eclipse is a part of that. And yeah, man. So It's a lot of stuff that's, and then we got the solar flares, a lot of solar flares. You know what I'm saying? This year,
that's the scariest one. Is the solar flares to me?
And that's what's gonna reset this whole shit. So
that will humanity. If we get a serious solar flare, humanity is gonna really understand that.
Yeah,
a lot. We're gonna realize how human we are.
Real talk.
Like, we're living invisible right now. We feel like we're untouchable.
Yeah.
But there is forces that are 10 times stronger than us.
Yeah.
There's some that are spiritual, and there are a lot that are physical. And if you're not aligned spiritually, you definitely are lost physically.
Yeah.
There's no way you can manage this plane or of existence in a spirit, in a physical sense, if you're not spiritual. You're just a vessel walking around, and almost equivalent to a zombie.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But remember, we're moving on a whole different frequency this year. And the frequencies are all over the place. That's why your chakras got to be on point.
Yeah, tap into that kundalini. Get that kundalini right now.
Exactly.
It's time. This is what you're here for. This is what you're here for. This is what we all here for, to unlock that kundalini, y'all.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, before we head out, I definitely want you to give us every how we can look you up, research you, damn near subscribe to you, purchase whatever it is. What do you got going on right now, and where are you at this current time in your life?
Look, man, it's RK5, the one and only Third Eye 5. Y'all go follow me on Instagram at RK5Official. The brand, Third Eye 5 _ on Instagram. Y'all go check out my podcast. Y'all can peep out me and Leo episode on my podcast and on YouTube and Spotify. Just type in Third Eye 5 Just About Audio Podcast and everything will pull up. Even go to my website, you can get some gear. It's under my page on my Instagram under RK5Official. We got a lot of new stuff, man. This year I just started doing the Third Eye 5 artist review. So if there's any artists out there that want to get their music heard, DM me, let me know. Contact me through Instagram, and we can get you set up. I do it every Wednesday at 5:30. I think this year I'm working on a project of releasing some new music. It's been a minute. My last music drop was July of last year, 2023. So I think I'm going to drop a project, like a body of work this year. I'm really like trying to debate on it. And I'm going to spill the tea on here that when I do drop, the project will be named Elohim.
Yes, sir.
That will be the title.
Nice.
That will be the title. So you know it's about to come with some deep stuff. So
yes, sir.
That's yes, sir. That's what's gonna be it, man. And again, man, I appreciate you inviting me on your show. We're gonna do this again. Great talk, man. This is a good one right here, man. This is a good one.
And yeah, man, like I said, man, check him out, y'all. Like, this man is doing some things, and he's been very consistent for some years now. And I've known him for, I want to say, almost 10 years, I want to say.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It's been a while, man. We've known each other for quite some time, man.
Bro, I think,
and
yeah.
I've always saw you as a serious person. I mean, ever since you was coming out of high school, yo, you've always been ahead of your time, especially with the way you perceive life.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people, you know, walk around here and they're like walking blind, and you can spot when you see one that's actually not walking blind. They're literally blinking their eyes. They're seeing everything going on.
Yeah.
And you are one of those people, man. You are.
I appreciate that, man. And that's what I'm here for, to carry out my purpose. And I want everyone to do the same. That's the whole point of Third Eye 5, is to expand consciousness and inspire others to walk in truth and they light and make this a better place while we Absolutely. Can. So, yeah, man.
Absolutely. And y'all, please check out his products. He got dope designs, man.
For real.
Feeling his work. So... That's it for our show tonight.
That's it.
Let's clap it up for the gods, man. Our
ancestors. For the gods.
Ashe, Ashe.
Hold it alive, man. Peace and love, man, yes, to you all. Y'all try to draw the ride and do some research. Pay attention to what's going on. Stop walking around blindfolded and just thinking nothing is going on. Just know every day, this world is changing, and we got to walk within the change, or we're going to be walking ourselves right into an exit, to a complete exit of us reincarnating to a cycle of us coming back to relearn and do this thing all over again. So you want to get it right now. Get right with your God right now, whatever you believe in, and... just stay tapped in, and that's it, man. All
right, y'all.
Peace, brother.
I'll catch up with y'all on the next episode.
You did.